This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it's 11 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI FM 106. Now with part 1 of the Morning Farm Show, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh.
Thank you. Here are your closing prices from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn was 412, down 10. March corn, 421, down 9.5. May corn, 429 and a quarter, down 9.25. January soybeans were 1287.5, up 7. March soybeans, 1273.25, up 7.5. May soybeans, 1259.5, up 9.25. December wheat was 642.25, down 2.25. March wheat, 652.5, down 2. May wheat, 656, down 2.5. Now time for your cash grain bids from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Friday the 15th, reported grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Friday afternoon. The corn market retreated on rules changes in the EPA renewable fuel standards affecting ethanol. Soybeans had two setbacks with the renewable fuel rules changes affecting biofuels and a sell-off of near 10,000 bean contracts by funds. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 7 lower at 395 to 417. Soybean bids were 31 to 36 lower at 1249 to 1275. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 lower at $4 even to 417. Soybean bids were 33 cents lower at 1265 to 1280. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 4 to 8 lower at 392 to 417. Soybean bids were 34 lower at 1240 to 1275. Wheat bids were 11 to 14 lower at $6 to $6.33. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were down 33 cents at $12.96 to $13.01. Basis was steady at 15 to 20 over the January. Soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.40.50 to $4.49.50. Down 14.10 with basis steady at 30 to 39 over the December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 5 to 10 lower at 427 to 432, with basis steady to 5 lower at 5 to 10 over the December. Illinois River Large Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids down 5 to 7 at 405 to 410, with basis steady to down 2 at 12 to 17 under the December. Soybeans ended down 33 to 39 cents at 1266 to 1272. With basis steady to down 6 at 9 to 15 under the January. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids at 5 to 7 lower at 423 to 426. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 33 to 36 cents with quotations at 1287 to 1288. Soft wheat closed steady at 650 to 660. Milo ended the day 5 to 15 lower at 442 to 452. In contract bids to producers for January delivery, in the northern part of the state, corn was 398 to 418, soybeans for January at 1242 to 1279. In the central part of the state, corn for January at 404 to 424, soybeans for January at 1265 to 1288. And in the southern part of the state, corn for January at 404 to 426, and soybeans for January at $12.78 to $13 even. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing prices from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle were $131.90, down $1.50. February live cattle, $133.20, down $1.60. April live cattle, $133.80, down $1.22. November feeder cattle were $164.85, down 30 cents. January feeder cattle, $164.30, down $1.52. March feeder cattle, $164.60, down 85 cents. December lean hogs were $8.56, down 30 cents. February lean hogs, $8.99, down 37 cents. April lean hogs, $9.23, down 15 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 15th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 61 cents lower in the range of 77.03 to 82, with a weighted average carcass price of 79.72. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $2 to $3 higher, with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 65 to 71, 4 to 5 weights 66 to 75, 5 to 550 weights 68 to 76, and 550 and up 70 to 77. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offering, ranging in price from 55 to 61. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 10,482. Now, from the Walnut Livestock Auction Report for Thursday, November 14th, they had receipts of 340 head. And starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing 128 to 132. Select and choice steers were 122 to 127. Choice Holstein steers, 114.50 to 118.50. Choice slaughter heifers, 128 to 132.25. And select and choice heifers, 120 to 123.75. Now, on to the slaughter cattle. They had premiums bringing 107. Breakers bringing from 77 to 83. Boners were 79 to 84, and leans were 65 to 70. Slaughter bulls were bringing $83 to $84. Now, from the Fairview Sale Barn Feeder Cattle Auction Report for November 14th, they had receipts of 1,074 head, and starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones, four weights were 175 to 217. Five weights were 162 to 176. Six weights were 158 to 168. Feeder steers, medium and large ones and twos, four weights bringing 194. And they had some six weights at 141 to 150. Feeder steers, large ones, five weights were 162 to 175. Six weights were 151 to 167, and seven weights were 155 to 156. On to feeder heifers, medium and large ones. Three weights were 160 to 176, four weights 155 to 170, five weights 154 to 166, six weights were 150 to 162, and seven weights were 142 to 143.50. Feeder heifers, large ones, five weights were 145 to 165. On to feeder bulls. They had some three weights bringing 221, and five weights were bringing 167 to 173. Now, in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 129 to 132.50 and on a dress basis at 206 to 209.50. Heifers on a live basis traded at 130 to 132 and on a dress basis 204 to 209. From the National Daily FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 304 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 91.97, and that was $2 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were 201.16, that's $1.40 lower, with select carcasses at 188.44, and that was 8 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 110,000, that compared to 108,000 last week and 114,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 432,000, which compared to 431,000 last week and 429,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And now here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. November corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.11. December corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.07. November corn delivered to Scottville, $4.11. December corn delivered to Scottville, $4.04. November beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $12.69. December beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $12.93. November wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.21. The pre-opening prices again are corn at Greenfield is $4.11, corn at Scottville is $4.11, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $12.69, and wheat at Scottville is $6.21. That's all for part one of this morning's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
And it is 22 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI FM 106. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Ready to improve your farm's operating efficiency? Talk to FS about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service Company will provide you with an integrated system of agronomic products and services, placing the latest innovations of precision farming technology at your fingertips. And with expert analysis and recommendations, the process of decision-making becomes a lot easier. Discover how FS can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today and find out why FS is your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, your natural resource.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the low 50s with light southeast winds. Clear skies tonight, low temperatures in the low 30s. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, becoming cloudy, a slight chance of a shower, high temperatures in the low 50s. And your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, a chance of showers Thursday and Friday, partly cloudy and colder Saturday. Low temperatures in the low 40s, falling to the low 30s. High temperatures in the upper 40s, falling to the upper 30s. Right now at the Weather Center, light north winds, the barometric pressure steady, and our temperature 27 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the CHS Service Center of Louder, by the Monsanto Southern Illinois team, by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by the Quality Engine Machine Shop of Litchfield. Once again, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch.
Nathan Kaufman with the Kansas City Federal Reserve recently gave a talk on the economics of U.S. agriculture and what he refers to as the pendulum effect we're seeing in the market sectors right now. He illustrated some key differences we'll see from 2013 to 2014.
So the last several years, what we've seen is farm sector income being very, very high on a historical basis, near record levels. Now, a lot of that's been driven by where crop prices have been. Corn prices have been very, very high on a historical basis. Now we're looking at record production, a bumper harvest this year, and corn prices have fallen significantly from where they were last year. And then that obviously has implications for what farm income might be going forward. So there are estimations going into 2014, some that USDA puts out there, that farm income might be as much as 20% lower in 2014. And then that has implications for, let's say, farmland prices. Farmland prices have been rising, driven by some of the returns and prices that are out there to crop production. If there are questions about what's happening in farm income and whether there will be declines, and whether crop prices might fall, then there are questions about, or should be questions about, what happens in terms of farmland prices going forward. And then that has implications for farm balance sheets and has just general implications for the financial health of farmers throughout the country.
Lower crop prices generally mean decreased purchasing of farmland, but so far there doesn't seem to be as much of a decrease in farmland sales as you might expect. But Kaufman says it is it is expected that farmland purchasing will start losing momentum.
It's been very strong. That's been true the last several years. It's been true even through 2013 into the summer. One of the surveys that we put out in that region specifically in the Kansas City Federal Reserve District shows that we're still seeing fairly strong returns to farmland. I would say that a lot of the sales activity tends to take place in the fourth quarter, so what we see from now until the end of the year may be more telling in terms of what we've been seeing in the second quarter and the third quarter of this year, and then going into 2014 and seeing what happens with farmland sales then. So I think that you have started to see in some cases some moderation. You've seen some cases of some failed auctions. I would qualify that by saying that you still see high-quality farmland still attracting a relatively strong price in a lot of areas. So we haven't seen the kind of moderation that people might be thinking about, given where incomes are headed and potentially in 2014. But there's still expectations that as you get lower income and as you get some of the other lower crop prices that are out there for 2014, that there's questions about when you might start to see that decline. With interest rates currently being low, that's been another factor that's been contributing to, as some of our bankers have indicated, it's a factor that's been contributing to the farmland prices that we see today. And so you can think about interest rates also going forward, 2014 and beyond. A lot of estimations showing that interest rates are predicted to rise at some point, and that would play a role in farmland prices going forward as well.
Some other prices that aren't dropping as fast as corn, input prices. Kaufman addressed the concern some farmers have that various input costs seem slow in coming down.
I think if you look historically, you do see that those prices start to moderate. I think the question is how quickly they'll moderate. When you think about fertilizer and seed costs in particular, I think there's questions about how quickly they'll moderate relative to what crop prices will do, and crop prices are known to be fairly volatile. So in some cases, they may not swing as quickly as what crop prices are just because of the volatility that you see in commodity markets. So obviously, there's some questions there, and I can see that there would be some concerns. Yep.
For the past couple of years, many farmers have had to rely heavily on crop insurance due to some curveballs thrown by Mother Nature. Kaufman cautioned that although crop insurance is meant to help farmers out when testy weather conditions challenge them, relying on it for a few consecutive years causes some strain.
The important thing with crop insurance is that crop insurance is not designed to protect against multi-year risk. It's designed to protect against risk within 1 year, and it's reset the next year. So for 2012, going back to the drought, a lot of farmers buy revenue insurance, and what that does is it protects against both price and yield, adverse yield events. In 2013, yields are expected to be higher, but prices are lower. So for those farmers that buy crop insurance and buy revenue insurance, that will still be a factor potentially for a lot of farmers in 2013. But that price, that crop insurance price, which is set relatively high still for 2013, will reset in 2014. And so that price could potentially be lower, and that safety net there from crop insurance could be somewhat less than next year when you think about that price resetting. And that's in the midst of the discussions about the farm bill that's still ongoing.
Coming back around to the main point of what Kaufman calls the pendulum effect, and a bit of good news, as corn prices lose strength, livestock prices are gaining, and livestock producers get to look forward to some lower input prices.
So one of the interesting things when you look at livestock prices and you go back to 2003 to 2006 is that there wasn't a lot of move in livestock prices relative to corn prices. Then you got ethanol demand, you got China demand coming on in 2006, and that really drove crop prices much faster than what you saw anything in livestock prices. But the interesting thing if you look at the last few years is that you do see livestock prices rising. It just hasn't been nearly to the extent as what corn prices have been rising. So now that you start seeing this moderation in corn prices and you see that gap between relative crop and livestock prices, it starts to narrow, you can think about livestock profitability starting to return then with lower input costs. Hedge funds and speculators in these markets, and you mentioned this, commodity markets, are starting to recognize some of this. And looking at, for example, corn futures right now, some of the data that the Commodity Futures Trading Commission puts out suggests that large speculators are currently holding the largest net short position in corn futures that they've held since 2006 at least. And at the same time are holding a net long position in cattle futures. So that would suggest that those that are holding a long position may think that prices are have more potential to rise, and those that are holding a short position have more potential to fall. So if you're futures, there may be the belief that prices are rising, and there's some factors underlying that at the same time that you look at corn prices and the possibility that you see lower corn prices.
Again, that was Nathan Kaufman with the Kansas City Federal Reserve speaking on the state of the national ag industry. Last Thursday, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District partnered up for the first area cover crop tour and meeting. I spoke with Chris Reynolds from the Soil and Water Conservation District about the tour and how it went.
The Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District sponsored the first ever cover crop meeting and tour here in Montgomery County. We had a short, about an hour-long meeting or so at the University of Illinois Extension office. Dan Towery was our featured speaker with the American Farmland Trust, and he has several years of experience with NRCS and USDA and those type of agencies promoting, you know, no-till and cover crops and those type of things. So we had a short meeting there, and we had pretty good participation. The weather was maybe a little too nice for a meeting this time of year, and I know a lot of guys were still trying to finish up in the field too. So I think for our first year, our first meeting that we've ever had on cover crops, it went really well.
Can you go over some of the main things that you guys covered or looked at for those who missed it but had to be out in the fields harvesting?
Yeah, a lot of the main things that we, you know, discussed, and we kind of had a pretty much open meeting, you know, and let, you know, some of the producers talk about their experiences as well and what their experiences have been with cover crops. But the main thing we were looking at is, what mixes are guys using out there? You know, are they using tillage radishes, oats, or are they looking at annual rye? And everybody, you know, with cover crops, think, what are your objectives? Are you trying to fix some nitrogen for next year's crop? Are you trying to reduce soil erosion? You know, are you trying to break up compaction and different things? So, you know, what type of mix that you decide that you want to plant is kind of dependent on what some of your goals are on your farm. A lot of producers here in the county were trying out the tillage radishes for the first time this year. A lot of the ones that we did in the wheat stubble, of course, they were planted earlier, were pretty successful. Some of the others that were aerial seeded later on because of the dry weather were not as successful. We discussed that as well, but a lot of things, you know, timing of when to get these cover crops on by is one of the key factors in being successful with cover crops. You can go out there and get them done by that date, but if you don't have any soil moisture at that time, your success rate definitely goes down.
Just like everything else with farming, it's very dependent on the weather.
Exactly. And I think that's one thing that guys have to keep in mind whenever they're, you know, looking at doing the cover crops out there. And you kind of have to plan ahead, you know, and I think as we go into next year, obviously we're already planning, you know, what we're going to be planting next spring in the field, corn and soybean wise. I think with cover crops, you have to be thinking about that as well. If there are some fields that you want to try cover crops in, to maybe put a little bit earlier variety beans out there, or maybe earlier corn out there on that field, so that you can get your cover crops in, get them in planted a little bit earlier. Somewhere, you know, September 15th usually is kind of the time frame for the ryegrass and the radishes. You know, you want to be able to get some good growth on them before the frost comes.
And it seems that there is a growing interest in cover crops around the area, especially if this is your first cover crop tour. So are you anticipating more cover crop tours in the future?
I think so. I think we'll definitely have another tour next year, probably next fall. We've partnered with American Farmland Trust and to do some more promotional type activities with cover crops and to get some more information out to producers. And I think that's the best thing you can do is, you know, locally see what's working for producers in the area and kind of expand on everyone's knowledge that, you know, as we all go through this together and see what's working the best. And from one year to the next, it could change, you know, quite a bit. But definitely get an idea of what's out there, the seed sources, and what type of seed, varieties of seed are working good, and kind of go from there.
Reynolds encourages anyone with questions about cover crops or related government incentive programs to contact the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.